B3. Number 12A.
We come to chapter 6, that important chapter on science, theology, and medicine. And we have in this chapter quite a lot of references on healing. So it's, so to say, a backbone chapter, if you know what I mean. And when one has a lot of references in one chapter, it is good to remember that within the structure of the textbook there are various parts in some of the chapters, and therefore it is good to investigate these subjects in every part separately. So let's take those three parts there, science, and then theology, and then medicine, and try if we can find an epitome for each of the three before we can see what is the meaning of the whole, because they differ quite a bit in its first approach, and then we see why they need each other. In the first part on science, Mrs. Eddy actually presents for the first time that she has set forth in Christian Science the principle of healing and its application. So here we get for the first time a sense that what she was asking for as spiritual healing power has behind itself a principle. For the first time she leads it back and says this is not just a charismatic talent and a gift of God, but that behind it must lie a divine principle. You know, it is in this chapter where she made that terrific statement that she knew that also in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and all through Christian history, there were always great spiritual seers who had brought forth wonderful healings, and then says, but I must know the principle and the rule of this healing. This was really her great contribution, so to say, to the modern world, that she tried to bring out healing from a mysterious field, from the field that there are miracles and wonders, and brought them right up to a scientific level and saying, there are no wonders, there are no miracles. If we speak about wonders and miracles, it is only that we have not seen the higher laws ruling in these experiences. So miracles are no miracles, they are proofs of a higher law. And so she set out to find these higher laws. And so she was the first one of all those who have experienced wonderful instantaneous healings. The history of Christianity is full of these healings, miraculous healings, right in between Jesus and Mrs. Eddy's time, that it was full of it. But they all took it as a gift of God and were very grateful for it, perhaps even devoted then afterwards their whole life to God, made perhaps somewhere a cloister and built up a new rite or anything like that. Whereas Mrs. Eddy wasn't just saying, well, thank you, God, you have really given me a wonderful gift and I will be grateful all my life for this gift. But she said, if that happens once, there must be a principle behind it so that it can happen every time we understand this principle. See the terrific new paradigm that she was trying to establish and afterwards could establish, and therefore on that new paradigm establish an extraordinary science. Here we find this in this part on science, that here she speaks about healing, that there must be a principle lying behind healing and its application, and that therefore we would have to find the rules of application. I just give you a few examples of what she says here, and you hear at once when you think back now to the first five chapters how very much different she treats the subject of healing. Here she would now speak of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. And see, now she touched the principle of scientific mental healing. She says the divine principle of healing is the same yesterday, today, and forever. She says that Christian Science designates what? The scientific system of healing. That her discovery is the discovery of the divine science of mind healing. She speaks of the power of Christian Science to heal. That science of mind healing is that science where mind can only truly testify to the truth. So can you see practically every statement she has in that big part on science is concerned that healing is not just a talent, not just a miracle, just not a wonder, it's not just a gift of grace, but that there is a principle lying behind it, a science behind it. So we could say here that Christian Science here presents the principle of healing and its application. When she has stated that as science, and she goes on to the second part of theology, and it seems that if she would try to show there that what she has been presented in the first part is actually that which Jesus was using, that Jesus was applying. And theology, that part is full of combining the healing power which Jesus works, that Jesus healed. Most of the references are now healing in relationship to Jesus. This is new too. We didn't have that in all the preceding chapters. And shows here that Jesus healed and that his healings follows the understanding of the divine principle of the Christ Spirit, that he healed in demonstration of truth, that he established a precedent for all healing. And so begins to show that Jesus did have that understanding which he presented in the first part, but that he had it as the Christ Spirit, and that that Christ Spirit would do the healing. What is that Christ Spirit of which she speaks? And in order to explain that, she has the third part on medicine, where she now defines that Christ Spirit which she showed Jesus had, and put, so to say, the terminology of the Christ Spirit into scientific language of today, showing that that Christ Spirit is actually nothing else than truth, healing through the mind of truth. It is that therefore to show that what she showed as the principle of healing in the first part, and which Jesus exemplified in his work, is actually Jesus' understanding of what? And in the third part she says what it is, what this Christ Spirit is, that the principle of scientific healing is that truth heals through mind and not through drugs. Therefore, the tone that runs right through this third part is all characterized either by principle, as the principle of healing, that the principle of healing is what? That it is, second, truth, and third, the medium through which it heals is mind. Can you see it? Principle, truth, mind is here shown as the healing agent. Here again she reminds us of principle and says that she had to discover the principle and rule of healing, that this remained to be discovered. It was there, Jesus had it, But he didn't spell it out. He didn't spell it out in a scientific way. He just had that spirit and he used that spirit. But naturally, because he didn't explain it, or because the time was not ripe for that to be explained, because he always said, well, I have many more things to tell you, but you would not understand it. But when the time comes, I will send you that comforter. And so Mrs. Eddy understood that her discovery was that comforter which would now tell the truth, would explain that Christ spirit that healed. And so Mrs. Eddy explained the principle of healing to be what? Truth which heals through mind. She says that the textbook contains the complete science of mind healing, and that the recognized principle of healing is what? Mind. You can see it's always principle mind. She speaks there in the way of mind, that of the potency and dignity of the divine mind and its efficacy to heal. And you see that the moment she had touched through spiritualism that healing is a quality of the synonymous term, she now begins to evolve it and says in the sixth chapter, now what is the principle of healing? The principle of healing is that truth heals through what? Through the medicine of mind, through the potency and power of mind. Mind heals organic and functional disease. Mind outweighs drug in the cure of disease. The requisite power of mind, as a requisite power to heal, is in mind. Can you hear mind, mind, mind as the medicine? Then she would take in truth and show that truth really heals through mind. We know, when we have studied the synonymous term, we know that truth is the remedy, and we know that mind is the medicine. Now, what is the difference? The difference is very clear. If you go to a doctor, he gives you a remedy, which is in the form of a medicine. He doesn't give you, you don't go to the doctor and he gives you a medicine. He may give you a wrong medicine if he doesn't first know what is the remedy. He has about 30,000 or 3,000 different medicines at hand from which to choose. Now, what defines which one he should choose? It is the remedy that decides it. His analysis of the case, which says this and this disease has to be cured, and it has to be cured through what? And this process is the remedy. And then the medium through which it is done is the medicine. And Mrs. Eddy uses the difference between remedy and medicine very distinctly. For her, the remedy is always truth, to know first what is the right medicine. If the doctor would give any medicine, it may not be the remedy, maybe just making things worse. So here too, Mrs. Eddy says, first we must know the truth about the situation, and then we can really handle it through mind. So truth, Christ, she says, heals the sick. In the scientific healing, she says, truth controls error. Truth saves from sickness. Truth has a healing effect. It's the holy influence of truth in healing the sick. So these are the the references here. So let's summarize it again. That third part shows now what the principle is, the principle of healing is, and says the principle of healing is truth healing through mind. Okay, now how shall we put all that together into one epitome, or say, how shall we epitomize the whole chapter? And perhaps the best thing is if we keep these three parts a little bit apart and show, in the first part she shows that Christian Science presents the principle of healing. Perhaps it's quite nice. You make just Roman 1, Roman 2, Roman 3 in this box. Roman 1, and you remember what it is. Christian Science presents the principle of scientific healing. Second, Jesus healed through the Christ Spirit, comma, the truth power. And third, truth heals through mind. So actually, if you take these three parts, you can see that they actually are all the same. Put them together, they just show that Christian Science presents what Jesus did, namely the principle of scientific healing in which truth heals through mind. And you have the whole chapter. That Christian Science, so to say, presents now the principle of healing, which underlies Jesus' work, which is what? Truth heals through mind. Can you see, for instance, the difference between the fourth chapter and the sixth chapter? The fourth chapter in the Word, which is analysis, first analyze how we can analyze a situation that needs to be healed, namely through mind, the reading. Then, here in the sixth chapter, it is something else. Here she now presents what would now be the principle of healing and says it heals through. It's no more analyzing really the case. Now it's showing the medium through which it can be healed, namely through truth as mind. Yes. Or can you see also the difference or the connection between the fifth chapter and the sixth chapter? In the fifth chapter we said that animal magnetism is not a true healing agent, because we could see that animal magnetism, like quimbyism, is using what? And we saw that they are using mind and truth, but mind small m and truth small t. See? That their that the principle of animal magnetism is the counterfeit, really, of what Mrs. Eddy has then discovered. Namely, what Mrs. Eddy discovered is the principle of healing that heals through mind, capital M, and through truth, capital T. Can you see the difference? All right. Well, if it doesn't thrill you, it thrills me at least. That's one thing. I just always stand in awe when I do this research and find out such things and think, my word, what a clear, pure mentality was necessary to be transparent, that such a clear-cut, tangible, spiritually tangible form and gestalt of the whole subject could be brought out, so that there is no eternal mixing up of things, you know, just that amorphous presentation of some aphorisms just in no order and so on, but that such a clear-cut, orderly way of presenting a subject is now open for us to study and to get hold of and to have a clear, pure line of how to reason and how to reason along to get to the pith of the subject. All right, it thrills me. The next chapter is physiology. We know that the chapter on physiology has two parts that are very distinct from each other. And so again, we could see that perhaps in these two parts, different aspects of the same subject may be under consideration. What she brings here into discussion is that after having presented in the sixth chapter that actually truth is the only healing power and heals through mind, that now she has to show that there is no other healing power. That which she found in the sixth chapter is actually the only true healing power and healing agent and healing method, and that there are no other healing methods. That this method which she has presented is actually that which is applicable in every case and is working in every case, is efficient in every case. And so a lot of the references in this chapter have to do that this is quite sufficient, that we don't need to look out for something else, that God can do actually all things. That wording that with God all things are possible runs right through this chapter. It actually does no more appear in any other chapter. It's typical for this chapter that God can do all things. And therefore she brings out here that God is not of little use in sickness, that God can do all things for us in sickness and in health, that God has control over sickness, that all disease, can you hear the exclusiveness of it? That God has control over sickness, that all disease is cured by mind, that nothing is left out, that it can heal acute and chronic disease, that truth is more potent than all lower powers. Do you feel what she brings out? You see, after having stated what the principle of healing is in the sixth chapter, now in the seventh chapter she says there is no other healing power besides that. This is absolutely sufficient in every case. So you can turn, now I let the cat out of the sack already, therefore you can turn in every case to this healing power. Do you have that saying too? You let the cat out of the bag. Okay, out of the bag. So she would bring out this very clearly that there is no other healing power except mind. She says that no healing exists except by mind, by means of divine power, that we should not resort to aught but mind. It's always the same tone. Therefore, that we should have complete reliance on truth. Only through radical reliance on truth can scientific healing power be realized. But because it is physiology, she also indicates here very clearly that in order to heal really through truth and mind, we have to be watchful that we are not filling our mind with error, because that would bring about just the very thing we don't want to happen, namely that brings about disease. So a lot of the references here on healing is actually showing that we should not entertain false thoughts or false images, that we should not fill the human mind with pictures of disease. It's full of it there. I just read down quickly, without that you need to make notes of it, just read the various renderings she gives, that we should be careful not to fill our mind, counterfeit of the divine mind, with error, the counterfeit of truth. So it's all truth mind in these chapters. She says, all disease is mental. Therefore, mortal human mind is the cause of disease. Therefore, not to picture disease to the mind, that we should not picture disease to the mind, to prevent images of disease from taking form in thought, efface the outlines of disease in the minds of mortals, give less thoughts to sanitary subjects, and there will be less disease. All disease is the result of education, gain of mental image. Treatise on anatomy, physiology, health, material laws promote sickness. Reading medical books, descriptions of disease, they promote sickness. Doctors implant disease. These are those iatrogenic diseases. Prevent disease from forming in the human mind. Can you see the counterfeit now, which says prevent disease, prevent, that you have to heal yourself. How? By not holding error in your human mind, to efface from your human mind all forms of error, all forms of disease, and therefore don't talk and read a lot about disease and the symptoms of disease and things like that. Therefore, healing will take place when we turn from these human mind pictures, which are picturing out all forms of disease, by turning away and therefore turning to the divine mind. So healing takes place at that moment when the human mind yields to the divine mind. This is another tone in it. Healing takes place when the human mind yields to the divine mind. That healing takes place, she says, by removing the influence of mortal mind and filling thought with the divine energies of truth. So here we have a rule of application of this principle that has been stated in the first part.